Okay. Think about all of the noise that fills our lives. TV, radio, sounds of traffic, people talking, all the noises that you're at work, machines and equipment. And think about all of the noise that we take with us everywhere we go. Podcasts and streaming audio and YouTube. Not to mention just the seemingly never-ceasing notifications. They say that we receive on average 65 notifications a day. That's a lot of interruptions. A lot of beeping and ringing. That's a lot of noise. And what we're finding out is that all of this noise can damage our health. We live in a world constantly buzzing with a cacophony of noise. The World Health Organization has called contemporary life with all of our noise a, quote, modern plague. And here's what happens. Our bodies physically respond to all of this audible stimulus that they receive. And the way it responds is your body releases hormones, powerful chemicals, primarily adrenaline and cortisol. And as a response to this noise, these are the same hormones that get released when you're under stress. And so when the noise that surrounds us is constant, this flow of chemicals is constant, and this has some very potential damaging health effects. In addition to distracting your concentration, keeping you from focusing on whatever it is that you need to be doing, it raises your blood pressure. And it suppresses your body's immune response, which increases your exposure to various risks. So things like hypertension, heart disease, all kinds of mental health issues can result from all of this noise. In 2006, a guy by the name of Luciano Bernardi did a study. He was studying the effects of music. And he made a very interesting discovery. He found that even 2 minutes of silence can be more relaxing than listening to relaxing music. Another interesting study happened in 2013. This was a study of mice. And they were studying how different sounds affected groups of mice. And so they exposed different groups of mice to different sounds. One group, for instance, just heard white noise. Another group heard just the sounds of their environment. Another group was exposed only to the sounds that their babies made. But any good science experiment needs to have a control group, right? And so they had one group of mice that was exposed to no sound at all, only silence. And here's what they found, that after only 2 hours of silence, these mice actually started growing new brain cells in their hippocampus. Now, the hippocampus is a region of the brain that, amongst other things, plays a very large role in learning and memory. Could it be that silence could actually make us smarter? Who knows? But we're not here this morning to talk about the importance of silence on our physical health. I want you to know this morning that silence is essential to our spiritual health. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about worship, and we've been looking primarily at the nation of Israel and the Exodus, because during the Exodus and the giving of the law, God gave them, He laid down for them some foundations and patterns for worship. And we've been looking at this story from some different angles. One thing, though, that we can say for sure about the children of Israel is this. They were a noisy bunch of people. They complained, they whined, they grumbled, they cried out constantly. And so again, we're going to look at this from another angle this morning, and let me set the scene for you. They are fleeing captivity from Egypt. Pharaoh and his armies are closing in from behind. And directly in front of them is the Red Sea. And here's what happens. Exodus 14, beginning with verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. So there they are, crying out to God, and then they turn right around and complain to Moses. Verse 11, they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Notice what Moses doesn't say here. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to fight back. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to pray harder. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to try harder. No, he doesn't say that. He says, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Now, this is God's way of saying, shut up and listen. Be quiet. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to tell you something, but you're so busy complaining, you can't hear a word I'm saying. We can't shut up sometimes. Especially when we're going through some hard times. My wife tells me that I can be a grump when I'm not feeling well. Now, personally, I have no idea what she's talking about. But apparently I'm not a lot of fun to be around. She says I complain a lot. And that's Israel's problem. They complain a lot. And God wants them to stop obsessing over every problem. You see, he wants them to quit talking and start trusting. Constantly complaining, making all of this noise, doesn't make the problem any smaller. It doesn't fix anything. In fact, it just magnifies our problems and makes them bigger. So I want to tell you real quick, just three spiritual health risks to all of the noise in our lives. The first is this: all of the noise makes us forget what God has done. Noise makes us forget what God has done. Did you hear what they were complaining about, what they were saying in their complaints? Look at verse 12. "Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Do you hear that? It would have been better if we just stayed in Egypt. Oh, it would have been so much better if we just stayed slaves. How much better it would have been if we just kept on making bricks for someone else. It wouldn't it be good if we just kept letting the Egyptians kill our children? Wouldn't that be wonderful? How quickly they forget. They've forgotten their suffering. They have forgotten how they cried out to God for deliverance. And they have forgotten everything that God has done to bring them to this point, to get them even this far. Think about all of the miracles they saw with their own eyes. Impossible things, amazing, indescribable, unexplainable things. But now they can't see any of it because all they can see is what's right in front of them. Constant complaining clouds our memories. All of the noise, it blinds us to what God has done in our past so that we can't see what he's doing in our present. And we won't trust him in the present. But not only does all the noise make us forget what God has done, all of our noise keeps us from seeing what God is doing. All they can see is Pharaoh and his armies closing in behind them. All they can see is the Red Sea blocking their path. But by seeing only what they can see with their eyes, they can't envision what God is doing. They can't see beyond the Red Sea. They don't see the promised land. They don't see everything that God has told them and everything that God has promised them. They've forgotten it all. They're only looking at what's right in front of them instead of the God who is with them. And sometimes we get so focused on everything that's closing in around us. We get so focused on the things that are blocking our path and standing in our way. The test results that we're waiting on. The finals next week. Any students with finals coming up? Annual review. We heard a rumor that the company might be downsizing next year, and what if we're laid off? And we get so focused on what's going on right in front of us that we can't see the God who is with us. Think about the power of with for just a moment. When somebody tells you, don't worry about it, I'll be with you. Think about what that means. I'll be with you. Every step of the way, you won't be alone. I'll be with you. And we have a God who is with us. Matthew, Jesus' disciple, author of the very first book in the New Testament, he begins and he ends his gospel with the power of with. In Matthew chapter 1, it starts off with the genealogy of Jesus, and then we have the angel making his big announcement to Joseph. Mary's pregnant. She's going to have a baby. You're going to name him Jesus. And then the angel refers to an Old Testament prophecy about Emmanuel. And then Matthew gives us the translation of Emmanuel. God is with us. God with us. That's the whole point of Christmas. That God is with us. Now, you go all the way to the last chapter of Matthew, the very last verse in the book. And the risen Jesus is appearing to the disciples, including Matthew. And he makes this statement. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God promises to be with you. Not near you, around you. I'll be available, just send me a text. No, with you. God is with you regardless of your circumstances. God is with you no matter what. There is nothing that you face alone. So all the noise, it keeps us, it makes us forget what God has done. It keeps us from seeing what God is doing. But it does something even more dangerous. It keeps us from hearing what God is saying. We're so busy talking, we're not listening. It's been wisely pointed out that God created us with two ears and one mouth for a reason. We should listen twice as much as we speak. Unfortunately, it's usually the other way around. But Israel here is so busy bellyaching, they have no idea what God is trying to tell them. And what is God saying? Well, let's read on here, verses 15 and 16. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it so that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. God wants them to stop crying and start moving. But they can't hear him because they're making so much noise. But nothing they say is going to help it. Nothing they say is going to fix it. In fact, if they don't quiet down, they're not going to hear the one thing that's going to fix the problem that they're complaining about. We fill our lives with so much noise that it's hard for us to hear from the Lord. A few weeks ago, we defined worship this way. Worship is a response of all that we are to all that God is. And sometimes the absolutely best response that we can have to God is to be quiet and listen. Why? Well, so we can remember what He's done, so we can see what He's doing, so we can hear what He's saying. Worship can be, or silence can be, as an important a part of worship as the singing praises, rejoicing, celebration. And it used to be in most churches that there were moments of silence that were built into worship. Those of you who are older can remember times of worship where there was silence built into the service. And although there are some traditions that still practice this, by and large, worship today is just like our culture, filled with constant noise. No time to be silent. But listen to these scriptures. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 62:5, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him." Lamentations 3:26, "It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Habakkuk 2:20, "The Lord is in His holy temple, let the earth keep silence before Him." Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. "When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." James 1:19, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." So with that in mind, we're going to spend the rest of this worship service worshiping in silence. How does that work, you might ask? Well, from here on until we're dismissed, everything that you need will be on the screen. So watch and focus and listen. And I'm going to also ask, please make sure right now that your phones are on mute. We won't be able to achieve absolute silence, but that's one distraction we don't need. So I'm going to pray. Would you please pray with me? Father God, in this time of silence, I pray that we might hear You. Amen. Let's be silent in 3, 2, 1.